Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my fifth week of teaching on financial stewardship. And I tell you, this has been a good series. There have been, I believe, a lot of people's lives changed, and especially at this time. This is a word that is in season for what most people are experiencing. You know, today I just got through with a board meeting and I had my board come in from all over the U.S. And while other ministries are going down, other churches are down, and everything is going in reverse for most people because of the financial situation, did you know that we had probably over a 20% increase across the board in everything? Many ministries are down 8 to 10%. We're up 20%. And, you know, the reason for this, there's multiple things. It's not just one thing, but ultimately it comes back to just the blessing of God. As a matter of fact, while we were having our board meeting, you know, right in the middle of it, one of my pastors that's on the board, he just stopped in the middle and he said, "We just need to thank God. We need to praise God." This is, and we just broke out into prayer and praise right in the middle of the board meeting. I tell you, the reason that this is happening, again, it's multiple things, but it's because of these principles that I'm teaching you. I've given testimony over and over that while most people's stock portfolio has gone in the tank, Jamie and I have increased 26% in the last couple of months. While other ministries are struggling and laying off and going backwards, ours is increasing 20% and more during a time of famine. And you know why? Because you can have God supply your need according to His riches and glory. You do not have to have your finances based on this world system. Boy, that's powerful. That's easy to say, and I know that many of you dismiss it because we are so really humanistic in our approach. We are always looking for some physical, mechanical thing to make this happen, and I'm telling you that most of financial prosperity in your life is not mechanical or physical or just based on what the economy is doing. It's a covenant relationship with God. That's the point that I've been trying to get across, that you need to see yourself as a steward. It's not your money. It's God's money. If we would pray about our investments, if we would pray about, God, what kind of house do you want me to live in? What kind of cars do you want me to drive? God, this is your money. What do you want me to do? When you get in line with God, God knows the end from the beginning. He sees the financial problems that are coming. If we were truly just responding to a master who is giving us instruction, I don't believe it ought to be exceptional for you to prosper during a downtime in the economy. I believe it ought to be natural. This really should be the testimony, I believe, of all Christians and of all ministries and of all churches, that while other people are struggling, we are blessed. And I'm just telling you, this works. And I believe that there are some people that might have dismissed this at a different time, but because your faith has been shaken, because you are experiencing a downturn, maybe some of you are now ready to listen and to hear, what does God's Word have to say? That's what I've been doing. This is the beginning of my fifth week. So I've already ministered on this for a month. If you've missed any of this, please get the materials. Last week, I ended with Malachi chapter 3, and we've already talked about the tithe. If you've missed any of that, you need to get this teaching, because the way most people are giving a tithe is with the wrong attitude, and that totally voids the benefit of the tithe in your life. If all there was to prosperity is give, and it's given back unto you 100 times, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give into your bosom. If that's all there was to prosperity, many of you would be multimillionaires. But the Scripture reveals that the motive behind your gift is more important than your gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 says that if you give all of your goods to feed the poor, or if you give your body to be burned and aren't motivated by love, it profits you nothing. So it's not just what you do, it's the attitude you do it with. And the tithe has been taught in a way that is contrary to the New Testament motivation. And unless you get your motivational reasons for tithing straightened out, it's not going to benefit you. So, man, please get that. Last Friday, here's the point that I was making. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And I've already talked about quite a bit of this. I just wanted to finish up this section talking about the tithe, and not only the tithe, but where do you give your tithe? Where should you give? When should you give? I wanted to end up by saying a couple of things. I've already made this point that some people think that the tithe just automatically goes to the church. I believe in a perfect world, that's true. But we have imperfect churches. We have people that are going to churches that are dead churches, churches that are actually anti-Christian, that are so liberal, they're licensing homosexuals. They are not standing for the truths of the gospel. And when you give your money to a place like that, just because it says church, then you actually are doing more damage than you are benefit. And some people think, oh, it doesn't matter where I give my money, God just sees that my heart is right. You would make a poor farmer to think you'll get the same return off planting your seed on this carpet that you would get by planting it in a fertile soil and nurturing it and taking care of it. It does matter where you plant your seed. And if you are giving to a dead church, to a church that is actually promoting an agenda contrary to the Word of God, that's wrong, and it's not the right place to give. So I can't say that just bring the tithes to the church, because not all churches are ministering for the Lord. I've already talked about that. I'm not going to go back over all that, but let me make this point, that if people would learn to give where they are fed, that would radically change the finances in the body of Christ. Let me take this scripture out of Galatians chapter 6, and this is just a simple passage, and yet it's profound. It says in verse 6, Galatians 6, 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." The word communicate here is talking about giving financially. If you were to take it in context and go study out the old English word, this is what it's talking about. And then the next verse, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now this is really simple, but if you would just give where you're fed. You know, I believe that this is a perfect parallel to Malachi 3:10, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." What is a storehouse? It's where you keep your food. If you get hungry, if you want to go get some food, you go to where you have a storehouse. You know, today we have freezers and we have refrigerators, but in the time that the Bible was written, people didn't have that. They had places that were built underground to cool, and they stored their food there. And it's kind of like their pantry. This is where, when you got hungry, you went to the storehouse to get the food and the things that you needed. It's where you get fed from. If you would just give where you're fed, that is so simple, you got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand this. But if you would give where you were fed, did you realize it would revolutionize the body of Christ? There are people today, I hate to say it, but there are people today who are preaching prosperity and using green strings and red strings and gimmicks and this and that. And if you'll send in $1,000 prove me offering, you'll get this person saved. And they're manipulating and they're lying. And you know what? None, listen to what I'm saying, none of the people who are saying things like that are truly feeding the body of Christ. They might have a crumb here and there. They have to have an element of truth or nobody would pay any attention. You don't put poison in dog poop because nobody will eat it. Amen. If you're wanting to poison somebody, you'd have to poison a steak or poison something they'd eat. And so there has to be a grain, a kernel of truth in what they're saying. But I'm just telling you that people who are doing these gimmicks and manipulating people and getting people to give out of guilt and condemnation, they are not feeding the body of Christ. Right now, if you just do an inventory in your own mind, and I'm sure many of you have seen people on television who are, coercing people to give and to do things. And if you'd just be honest, the people who are making abuses of this and who are going over the top and doing all these things, They aren't the ones who are changing your life. The Word of God hadn't changed you. They aren't teaching truths that are setting you free. But they are masters at manipulating people and doing things like this. And the sad fact is, you know why they do it? It works. I'm not saying this to be demeaning to people, but I'm just telling you the truth. The reason people do those kind of deals is because people respond to it and they get a lot of money. You know, I go on the internet and we are a part of this charity Navigator. They evaluate nonprofits, and I'm not going to mention names here because I'm not out to get a person. But I could mention a name. I could give you specifics, and there is a guy who's on, I don't know, 1/50th as many television stations as I'm on. I know comparative what my ministry is, what his ministry is. He has very little exposure. And yet, did you know he brings in nearly twice as much money as what I bring in? And I've been exposed to this guy's ministry. And you know how he does it? He sends out these letters that says, "Dear so-and-so," and he'll put your name in it. "God woke me up at 2 a.m. and God spoke to me and told me that you have a loved one that you've been praying for. And if you will send me $1,000 prove me offering, then God is going to save this loved one." I know that for a fact because I've had people bring his letters to me and they say, "What do I do with this? It was God. I have somebody I've been praying for and I really want to see them born again, but I don't have $1,000. What do I do?" And I remember this one lady that brought that to me. She said, "What do I do?" And I just took the letter and tore it in two. And she just panicked like, "Oh, this was God. God woke him up at 2:00 a.m. and gave him my name. Out of all of the people, he had my name." And I said, "His computer sent this out to 100,000 people and personalized and said the same thing to." And she said, "Do you really think so?" And I said, "I know so." "Well, what do I do?" And I just threw it in the trash. And she said, "I just could never do that." I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's naive. I'm just being blunt with you. People who are doing things like this are not feeding the body of Christ. And if you just follow this one principle, give where you're fed. Bring the tithes to the storehouse. Give where you're fed. Then you know what it would do? It would shut up the people who are the hucksters, the manipulators, the liars, the deceivers, the charlatans, the crooks. It would shut them down because you know what? They don't have the goods. They have just enough trapping to make it look like it's true Christianity, but they're just manipulating people. They are not truly feeding the body of Christ. Nobody's life is getting changed. So if you didn't give where you were begged, where you were manipulated, but instead you gave where you were fed, you know what? It would get rid of those kind of people. In a sense, you know, many of you, I'm sure, are agreeing with some of the things that I'm saying, and you're thinking, "Man, I wish those people weren't on there." But you know why they're on there? Is because people are voting for them with their finances. If you would quit voting for them, that's like electing a politician and then griping about the way he's running the country. You know what? If you voted for him, you got zero right to complain. You are part of the problem. You need to recognize that every time you give, you are encouraging the people that you are giving to. And if you're giving to crooks and charlatans, the reason that they are doing this is because it works. I've had people come to me and offer me $1,000,000. This is back 20 years ago when $1,000,000 was more than my entire year's income. And they guaranteed me that if they would let me write a letter, they could generate me $1,000,000. Well, I needed $1,000,000, so I thought it's not going to hurt to listen to them. So I had these people come from California, Tulsa, New York, all over, and they all converged and we met. And they showed me what they would say. They showed me how many pictures they'd put in. And they would put in pictures of babies with swollen bellies. And they're raising food for people in Africa and for orphanages. And I said, "But I don't have any of this." And they said, "Well, the last guy we raised $22 million for, he didn't have any of it either." I says, "You don't have to have it. But I'll guarantee you, they guaranteed me $1,000,000 if they would, if I would send this letter out to my mailing list." And I said, "But it's not true. I'm not going to do it." And they were just shocked that a minister would not send out a letter claiming things that he didn't do. And I finally told him, I said, you know what, my relationship with God and my credibility is worth more than anything you can grant me. And I just told him to leave. And I said, keep the money that I paid to get you here, the travel money. I said, it's a lesson that I've learned. But you know why they do stuff like that? Because it works. And the only reason it works, I'm saying this in love, I'm not saying it to condemn you, but it's because of gullible people who will sit there and let somebody say, God gave me your name, and you are going to get this person saved if you'll just send me $1,000. That is unscriptural. You cannot buy a person's salvation. Now, there is a partial truth that if you take a step of faith, you know, that might release God to move in some area. But I'm telling you, most of you understand what I'm saying, that we've been manipulated and people are not feeding us. Quit giving where you aren't fed. And this applies to church. There are some of you that go to dead churches. I mean, they're so dead that a guy died, called 911, and they have to take out half the congregation before they find the dead person. Amen. Some of you go to dead churches, and yet you put your money into there because, well, I got to give my tithes to the church. Give your tithes to where you're fed. Now, if you're going to a good church, a church can feed you in a way that a ministry like mine can't. I can't be there in the middle of the night. You can't call me to come over and pray for you. I can't baptize your children. I can't marry your children. I can't help you raise your children. I'm not going to be there for the funerals. I can't give you counseling. A church can minister to you to a depth and in a way that a ministry like mine never could. So if you go to a good church, I would say yes, put your tithes into a good church. But if you go to a dead church or to a church that's not ministering to you, or to a church that you have to go home and pray to get the unbelief out of you after going to church, first of all, quit going to those churches. But if for whatever reason you're going to stay there, don't put your money there. If you are going to a church that is not feeding you and you are feeding off of this program or somebody else's programs or tapes or CDs, do not send your money to a place that isn't feeding you. Just give your money to where you're fed. And if you go to a good church, again, a good church is going to minister to you greater than what a television or radio program can do, so put your money there. But just give where you're fed. And you know another thing that would happen? Right now, we have a potential of 2.2 billion people that can watch this program. Now, not all of those watch it. Matter of fact, the television industry will estimate about 1% of the potential watch, but that's still 20 million people that have the potential of watching this program worldwide. 20 million. Now, again, if you only took a percent, let's just say 2 million, let's just say 1 million people are watching this program right now. And I think that's super conservative. But if this is ministering to you, if this has helped you, if this has fed you, if this is something that is going to help you to be able to be a better steward of your money, you know, if 1 million people were watching this program and just said, well, boy, that fed me, that helped me, and you just say, here's $1. If we had 1 million people send in $1 today, did you know that that would be the largest day income that we've ever had by 100 times or whatever? It would just blow us out of the water if people would give where they are fed. But people basically don't do that. They give where they're begged. I remember when I first moved to Colorado Springs, the man who gave us our building that we operated our ministry from, it's a long story, but it was supernatural that he gave it. Well, when we moved here, he stayed for a while and he duplicated our tapes and he saw how we ministered. And he saw that we would just duplicate tapes and send them out, and then we'd just sit because we would run out of money and we'd have to wait on money to come in, and then we'd buy more tapes and he saw how we were just right on the edge financially. And he came to me and he said, last year I gave away $20,000. And he said, I wanted to put it where it could do the most good. And he said, every time I prayed about it, you're the first person that came to my mind. But he says, you never ask for money. You just say, give if you want to. But you didn't tell me you were going under. You didn't tell me you had a crisis. And he says, so even though I wanted to give and you're the first person that came to my mind, he says, I didn't give you a bit of that money because I didn't think you needed it. And he says, now that I'm here and I'm seeing what's going on, why don't you do this? And I said, you know what? You have been conditioned to give where you're begged. And this man, I'm not going to tell you where he gave his money. I could do it. And most of you know who I'm talking about. But I went to that Christian television station. I was a guest on their program. And I actually had the guy who ran that ministry take me into a room and show me their crisis letters that were written for 3 years in advance. Fabricated crisis. Crisis that hadn't even happened yet because they had learned that people give where they're begged and where it's a crisis and we're going to go off if you don't give. And even though they didn't even have a crisis yet, they had already written the letters, had them stacked, had them printed, had them in the envelopes, and all they had to do is attach the postage to it and so that they could get it out. And every 6 months, like clockwork, they sent out a crisis letter, and that's where this man sent his $20,000 because he was begged. And those people a person wound up in jail. Turned out there was misappropriation and misuse of funds. You know, that would stop if people would give where you're fed. Is the church you're going to feeding you? If it is, bless them and help them because you need boots on the ground right in your community that can do things. Give to that local church. Help that local church. Realize that there's more than just the ministry of the word. There's helping you raise your children and all of the things that a church can do. And so give to that local church. But if that local church isn't feeding you, first of all, find one that is. But until you do, or if you don't, whatever your reasoning is, don't put your money into something that isn't ministering the true gospel. Every time you do, you're encouraging them to continue doing what they're doing. If you would start being a better steward and bring the tithes to the storehouse where you get fed, it would bless the people who are teaching the word. I'm convinced that there are millions of you watching this program who've been blessed and have never responded. And I'm not teaching on this to get a response. I know some of you will think I am. I can't help. You can judge and do whatever you want. I'm telling this because it's the truth. But I'm just saying that there are millions of you that have been blessed by this program that you've never given back. And you know what? If you were to just give, like I'll listen to a person on the radio, and if they say something that blesses me, I'll send them $5. You don't go eat at McDonald's and pay Wendy's. We understand that in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, here you are, some of you are bootlegging the gospel off of this television program. You're surviving by the things that I'm saying and other people on television are saying, and that's where you're being fed, and yet you put your money someplace else. That's like eating at McDonald's and going across the street and paying Wendy's. It just doesn't work that way. It's not the way that God set the kingdom up. There is such a thing as benevolence giving. I hadn't got time to teach on that, but if all you did was give where you were fed, well, then there would never be benevolence giving. There is missions giving. But those are kind of the exceptions. The heart, the core of where you give is you give where you're fed. That ought to be the primary motivation. And if you would just follow that, then the people who are truly feeding the body of Christ would be blessed beyond measure. The people who aren't blessing the body of Christ would dry up and they'd either have to change and get right with God or they'd be out of the picture. I tell you, these are some powerful things I've said today. Today's my last day to teach on this fifth part in our six-part series on financial stewardship, so please listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get these materials, and then please call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a six-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album, The Tithe, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO19C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me remind you that today is my last day to offer this fifth part in our six-part series on financial stewardship. We offer the album for a gift of any amount. You do have to send something. We don't put a specific amount on it, but we do ask for some gift for this whole album, but some people wouldn't send anything even when it's not a specific amount. And for that reason, what we do is make each individual teaching in the set available free of charge. My partners have enabled me to do that. So today is our last day to make this fifth teaching in the six-part series available to you absolutely free as our gift. Please call that number that you see on your screen and get this teaching entitled The Tithe.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.